To the boys and girls who I have to agree with everything Scott said. You guys did absolutely amazing. Well done to you, and indeed well done to the teachers who helped you put all that on. It's a lot of work, and we are so glad about I love the energy of these mornings. I love, where's Lewis? I love the shades. Lewis McLeod and his shades on. He obviously learned that from his dad in front of the mirror with his guitar. You'll maybe see them next time Derek leads worship. Love it. I just love you guys' fun and the energy that's here. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18? He said this. He said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus loves you guys, and he loves what you have done this morning, and he wants the adults here to be a little bit like you all in your energy and your fun this morning, and that is amazing. And I tell you what, the other thing was, what an impressive way to tell the Christmas story, to go through the alphabet from A to Z. There were a few letters you got to, and I was thinking, what on earth are they going to say for this letter? How are they going to mix that into the Christmas story? And you didn't only have one letter to say, but quite often you had three or four ways to connect a word from the Christmas story to that letter of the alphabet. That was very impressive. Alphabets aren't always as easy as they seem. I don't know about you, but I can't really remember when I learned the alphabet, but I'm sure I didn't get it right the very first time. So I have a question for you. It's hands up. Don't shout out. Okay, hands up. What is the first letter of the alphabet? Yes. A. Who thinks it's A? Hands up if you think A is right. Okay, well, let's see. We're going to watch a video of a guy who found that question a little bit tricky, okay?
All right, Barry, are you ready?
I am, Eddie.
The question for $1 million. What is the first letter in the English alphabet? Is it A, C, B, D, C, A, or D, B? What is the first letter in the English alphabet?
Well, it's A, isn't it?
I don't know, mate, is it?
Well, yeah.
So you want me to lock that in?
Yes, please, Eddie.
Lock in A.
Yep. Oh, well, hang on. What I mean is C.
C?
Yeah.
First you said A, and now you want to change it to C. Well, what do you want me to lock in? Oh, no.
The answer is A, so lock in C. C, A.
C, A. I need an answer, mate.
Yeah, no, lock in A.
So that's your answer?
Yeah, A is my answer.
Okay.
So you're locked in C?
Oh, listen, mate, you can't have it both ways. Either I lock in C or I lock in A.
A.
So you want to lock that in? Lock in A?
Yeah. A, as in C.
Mate, are you trying to be a pain in the
ass? No, no.
Well, can you just give me the straight answer so I can lock the thing in?
The answer is A.
It's locked in.
So you're locked in C?
Shut up. Well, $1 million. What is the first letter in the English alphabet? You said A.
Meaning C.
The answer is C. A is the first letter in the English alphabet. Sorry, Barry. We're unfortunately out of time here on Millionaire, but we'll see you next time, eh? It's not that hard, isn't it?
I knew it was A.
Alphabets aren't always as easy as they seem. And you know what? The Christmas story is a little bit like that as well. Because in one way, the story that you guys shared today was so easy for us to understand. From the youngest to the oldest, so helpful for us in thinking through the Christmas story. But actually, if we were to stop at each little bit of the line of the story that you told today and think about it for a minute, there'd be lots of questions that would come to our minds. And the whole Bible is a little bit like that. In one way, the Bible is simple enough for anyone to understand. But in another way, you read some parts of the Bible and actually it's really complicated. You could spend an eternity thinking about God and the wonderful things that he has done and who he is. And you could never get tired or bored of thinking about these things because the Bible is deep and precious and complex and amazing. So in one way it's easy, but in another way there's lots and lots to think about. One of the books of the Bible that is especially like that is the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament. Some parts of the book of Hebrews are very, very difficult to understand, but also some of it is very simple and beautiful for us to hold on to. In our church services, when you've been at a children's church, we've been thinking in this Advent time, in the run-up to Christmas, we've been asking the question, why did Jesus come to earth? And we've been thinking about the Christmas story, but not just the what's happened in the Christmas story, but we want to know why. What's the point of this whole thing anyway? What difference does it make for us? And in the book of Hebrews, we get some really clear answers to the question, why did Jesus come? But just like the alphabet, they're not always immediately clear. So let's put up the very first part of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. This is what it says. So we're talking about Christmas here, right? Because it says Jesus had to be one of us. So it's talking about Jesus coming to earth as a human being. And then look, there are some pretty hard words here, right? Jesus had to be one of us so that he could serve God as our merciful and faithful high priest. Now, let's see if we can figure out what these words mean. What, hands up if you know what merciful means. It's okay, don't worry, it's a hard one. Anyone know what merciful means? If not, we can ask one of the grown-ups. What's mercy? Anyone know what mercy is? Yeah. That's right. Well, very close. When he gives you something that you don't deserve, like salvation, that's right. That's because God has been merciful to us, he can give us something we don't deserve. Mercy is just really close to that. Mercy is when we don't get what we should deserve. So we should deserve, but you had the same thought. We deserve the punishment for the wrong things that we've done. And when we are shown mercy, it means that when Jesus is merciful to us, he doesn't give us the punishment we deserve. So Jesus is our merciful high priest. What does faithful mean? Does anyone know what faithful means? You know? That's okay, don't worry. Anyone know what faithful means? One of the grown-ups, maybe? Oh, wait, is there a hand? Yeah, Kiki. Loyal, that's right, loyal is dead right. Faithful means that you stay true to what you've promised to do. You are loyal to your promises and to who you are. So this Bible verse says that Jesus is our merciful high priest. Now, what on earth is a high priest? Well, let me tell you, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the high priest was the one person who connected God's people like us to God himself. There was only one person who was able to do that. God was so special and so pure and so important that not anyone could just stroll up and walk into God's presence. There was one person who had to communicate between God and his people. But you know what? God knew that we needed more help than that. It wouldn't be very good news, would it, if there was only one person in this church who could know God in a special way? That would be sad news for the rest of us. God knew that we needed something different than one person again and again and again. So this verse says, God said that there was one person who was going to come forevermore to be the connection between his people and him, and that was his son, Jesus. And this way, that anyone who loves Jesus can know God. So that's the first thing from this verse. Jesus came so that we can know God. Right, next little bit. Jesus came so that we could know God, and he came to sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, let me tell you, before Jesus came, these priests, okay, who helped God's people connect with God. How's it going, Zoe? You look amazing. What a beautiful headdress. I love it. I love it. These priests who helped God's people connect with him, they had to do some pretty yucky things, okay? Now, when you come to church as part of your worship, what are some of the things that we do when we worship God here on a Sunday? Yeah. Yeah, we sing. That's exactly right. We sing. Now, some of you maybe don't like singing very much, but let me tell you, that was nothing compared to what the priests in the Old Testament had to do as part of their worship to God. Do you know one of the things that they had to do to show God that they were sorry for the things they'd done? Yeah, that's right. They had to kill a lamb, and they had to kill all sorts of other animals because they wanted God to know that they had done wrong things, and they were really sorry about that. And the priests had to kill lots and lots of animals. And do you know that in some religions in the world, you've maybe learned about that at school, this still happens. But God knew that killing an animal can't make everything right. It was important to show how sorry they were before God. But the mess of the mistakes that I've made, that we've all made, the mess of this world can't be fixed by a killing of a lamb or another animal or even thousands of dead animals. And what this verse says is that Jesus came. Instead of sacrificing animals, Jesus came and sacrificed himself. And no one made him do it, But he chose to do that so that we could be forgiven for our sins. He was the only perfect offering for sin. So Jesus came that we can know God. Jesus came so that we can be forgiven by God. And then the last little bit of the verse, Jesus came so that we can know help from God. It says there, and now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, he can help anyone else who is tempted. Lots of people can help us in this life, can't they? So our teachers can help us if we're in trouble. Our family can help us if we're in trouble. And our church family can help us as well when things are difficult. But you know what? Sometimes we need more help than what those people can give. So as a daddy to Bethany and Jacob, I want to be as much of a help as I can. I want to help them when they're in trouble. But I know that I don't have all the answers. And I know that I make lots of mistakes as well. So they need more help than just me. And you know what the wonderful thing is? Jesus is not like me. Jesus knows all the answers. Jesus doesn't make mistakes like I did. And this verse is saying that because of that, Jesus can be our help. When Jesus died on the cross, because he didn't make any mistakes, he didn't stay dead, but he rose again, and he is alive today, and he wants to help us. And this verse saying that Jesus can help anyone who's in need. In another part of Hebrews, it says that for those who are struggling and finding life difficult, Jesus is able to sympathize with us, to help us get through the hard things of life. I want to tell you guys, Jesus is our perfect pastor. Jesus is our perfect friend. Jesus is our perfect help. And there are people here this morning who have gone through, or indeed some people are going through, some of the hardest things that you could ever imagine. And I could ask them to come up now and they would say, do you know what? Jesus has been my help. Over many, many years and through lots and lots of hard things, Jesus is able to be my help. So Jesus came so that we can know help from God. So in one way, the Christmas story isn't easy to understand straight away. Just like alphabets aren't easy to understand straight away. Just like these verses in Hebrews aren't easy to understand straight away. There's lots of big words there that we could think about forever and ever. And sometimes that can be hard. But also it's something that we can hold on to and understand. There was once a very famous man who spent his whole life thinking about God. He wrote some books that have shaped how we understand who God is, who have shaped the church. And his name was Bart. And no, I'm not talking about Bart Simpson. His last name was Bart. Does anyone know what his first name was? Cole? Carl Bart. Cole, by the way, is our resident PhD theology student, so I'm glad you know that. His name was Carl Bart, and let me tell you a story from the end, close to the end of Carl Bart's life. One time he had just given a lecture, and there was a time at the end of his lecture for questions, and one of the students there asked Carl Bart this question. He said, if you could summarize your whole life study into one little sentence, what would that sentence be? And do you know what Carl Bart said? Carl Bart said, I can summarize my whole life of thinking about God into one sentence. He said, it's in the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee. He said this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's right. Here's this amazing man who had spent his whole life thinking about the depths of the wonders of who God is. And he was able to say, even though I've done that, I've spent decade after decade reading and learning about God, I know in my heart it's as simple as Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. So these verses aren't always all that straightforward, but as we can see as they just come up now, what this passage means is that Jesus came, first of all, if we can click down, Ian, Jesus came, first of all, so that we can know God. Jesus came, secondly, so that we can be forgiven by God. And Jesus came so that we can know help for God. And next one, there you go. And those are three simple things that I pray this Christmas time you guys can think about. You don't need someone to know God for you. You can know God yourself. You don't need to do anything crazy and disgusting to be forgiven by God. You can be forgiven because Jesus came as your Savior. And you know what? Some older people in this church are having hard times just now, and I'm sure that some of you guys are having hard times as well. Sometimes maybe at school, maybe at home. We all have hard times and we need help. And I want to tell you that Jesus, because he came as a man, because he died and rose again, because he came as our Savior, he can be your help when things are hard. And I pray that you would know those things this Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can come into your presence today because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, God, that we can say sorry to you for the wrong things that we've done, and that you can forgive us for our sins, because you are our perfect sacrifice who takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you, God, that you can be our help, because Jesus understands the hard things that we go through. Thank you that Jesus loves us, this we know, because the Bible tells us so. Thank you for these boys and girls and the way that they've brought that message home to us this morning. And we pray that all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, would hold on to these lovely truths this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.